Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, good news for working folks. Also, the University of Alabama celebrates 60 years of desegregation. And congratulations, a job well done. Let the band play on. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, y'all.
You know, there's almost an embarrassment of riches in this year's session, and a lack of some of the more things that embarrass the state, even though we got plenty of embarrassing headlines, because of the bills that were introduced that eventually mostly went to die. But one of the biggest things, Susan, I think you bring this up often, is they went to work for the Alabama people. This is the most positive session I can remember in a decade.
Yes, they did. This time they actually went to work for Alabama. They did things, you know, yeah, there were crazy bills out there, but they died where they should have died. But what they mainly got done were things that are actually going to help, you know, our infrastructure, actually going to help people. You know, we've got the grocery tax. We've got the overtime. We've got the new economic incentives. The new plan, they called it. All of this is actually stuff that works in Alabama instead of just this crazy national these subjects going on here. They actually went to work for the state of Alabama. I'm very proud of them.
You know, there at one point, Governor Ivey used to say, Josh, Alabama solutions to Alabama problems. All mm-hmm. of these red meat bills that they tried to pass, they're not Alabama problems. They are national talking points for the severe right wing of the Republican Party. What we saw...
You know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's you're right. I think what made it a good session for people like me is that you take a look at what's happening in other state legislatures in other red states, Tennessee, for example, Florida, some other places around, and you look at what they're passing. And you look at what Alabama Republicans and how they it's not just what they passed, though. It's also how they handled it.
That is,
you know, and how they went about talking to one another. And it was a good session simply because I think people worked together more than they have in the past. And I think a lot of that credit goes to the leadership of both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. And Susan, I think, you know, Governor Ivey, House Speaker Ledbetter, and Senate President Pro Tem Greg Reed made it a point to work for consensus, not just consensus among Republicans, but consensus among Democrats as well.
As well. I mean, you got the grocery tax and the overtime taxes. Those are, you know, bipartisan. I mean, they started out, I mean, I know with the grocery tax, I mean, the unemployment, overtime tax, that was a bill that was coming from the Democrats, and the Republicans got behind it, which they usually don't do.
Right. Well, and as we all know, eliminating the grocery tax has been a champion point for Democrats for some 30-odd years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that all changed. Bobby Singleton, Senate Minority Leader, Anthony Daniels, mm-hmm. Minority Leader of the House, became equal partners in this venture, it seemed like. And it made a huge difference.
And that was the first time I've really seen that happen consistently in a session here in Alabama since we've been watching them.
You know, Josh.
You know, particularly in this climate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look what was going on just to the north of us in Tennessee. Yeah. Yeah. And the hostility and, kicking members out of the legislature and, all that that's going on. And you look at the way it was handled here. I give Anthony Daniels a lot of credit all the time and Bobby Singleton, too, for the way that they lead and the way that they're able to work with a super minority and be able to get their legislation through and passed and stuff. But also, you know, a lot of credit needs to go to Nathaniel Ledbetter and Greg Reed for listening to them and being willing to work and encouraging members to work with them and the body itself as well. There are some crazy, crazy people that we have elected. But I think if we take a look at this session, it's something to build on for the future.
It absolutely. And one of the things, Susan, that you brought up was this grocery tax. And I have to say, as we said before, Democrats have been behind this for years. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth made this a cause.
Yes.
He took this as a cause to himself. And he pushed for a total repeal on this 4% tax on groceries. Mm-hmm. Arthur Orr, a powerful senator, head of the Education Trust Fund, he basically tried to kill it outright.
He did try to kill it outright. Meanwhile, stuffing $500 million out of the Education Trust Fund over here for himself and his buddies, which the sales tax goes to the Education Trust Fund. But anyway, no, it sailed through. I mean, Will Ainsworth took this on in the very beginning of the session. Alabama is one of very few states that still have a tax on groceries. And he took this on very first and said, we need to make this a priority. Now, we didn't get to the 4%. But we did get to 2% over the next couple of years.
Yeah. Josh, and Will Ainsworth has said, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth has said that he is coming back for the whole enchilada.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope he does. And listen, you know, I wrote a column, kind of praising him for taking this on because he didn't have to. This was, I assume maybe down the road somewhere he can be able to tout it as a big a tax cut for himself, but he would have been comfortable with or without it, and he probably alienated a lot of people in his party by taking this on and pushing it so hard. And he didn't have to do so, but it's something that's going to work out for the people of this state tremendously. You're looking at about $300 a year in savings for nothing. You know, I mean, it's just $300 back in their pockets.
But he did something called leadership.
Yeah.
He did something called leadership. And the leadership this time is what worked.
Well, listen, I mean, I have never been able to figure out how you can be a four-tax Republican. But the Republicans have resisted this forever. And this has been a forever tax. 80-plus years, Josh, we've had this tax.
Yes. Yes, 80-plus years, and it's been, you know, the attempts to repeal it have been going on for 30 years now, and it's just nice that we're making some progress finally.
That's right, and it is nice that we're doing things for the working folks of Alabama. I know I talked to some people the other day, and they went, "Where you get $300 off on our groceries? Good Lord, we might be able to eat a little bit better." But anyway,
or spend it on something else.
Spend it on something else. The tax money is coming back.
It will.
Either
it
way. Will. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, you know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag. Something has to stop it, and unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
When I first started off, it was all about being an entrepreneur. Very quickly, it went into all the environmental impact that we're having on our world right now. We needed a technology that could do something with all the plastics that are harder to recycle. We innovated and created a technology, advanced recycling.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Josh, a historic event occurred here in Alabama. For the first time in the nation, a state legislature and the governor moved to strike taxes from overtime pay. Alabama's legislature removed the 5% tax on overtime wages, and that was the brainchild of Minority Leader Daniels, who has become the business champion, not only the business champion, but the workers' champion as well. It's pretty outstanding.
Yeah, it was. It's, we don't get a lot of novel ideas here. You know, we don't get original legislation written here. And, there was a lot of skepticism when Daniels first came up with this bill that it would ever be passed because it is original. And as a matter of fact, as some people told me when he first introduced this, one of the questions that he got from a lot of folks in the legislature is, well, has anybody else tried it? Has anybody else done this? And because this, normally the way the process works is you get some lobbying group to come in with a pre-written bill that's already been tried in four other states, and that's what we pass. And instead, this is something that was unique to Alabama. And I'll tell you this, I think it's going to catch on across in other states across the country. So we're going to be a leader for a change, and we're going to be a leader for something good. We're going to remove the taxes for the hardest working people in this state. That's always a good thing. Folks want to go and work a few hours overtime. I heard from the Hospital Association, the BCA, all these folks talked about what a good bill it was for businesses, what a good bill it was for their workers, and how it would encourage more job growth in this state because they can attract better employees with it.
Yeah.
Well, and two, we have a lack of big businesses right now are having problems hiring people, especially in big numbers, but the work still has to be done. So they need to be able to offer this to their employees. But as any employee knows, if you're earning time and a half, you're getting taxed at time and a half. So it really isn't, it's not the extra incentive you would like for it to be. By removing that tax, it makes it better for the employer and the employee.
Yeah. And once again, Senator Arthur Orr, who is the bane of most people's existence, if they want to do good in government, put a poison pill in. The bill had passed the House unanimously, passed the House, went to the Senate. Arthur Orr put a poison pill in there, which would reduce the overtime tax cuts to almost zero.
It would knock it down to $2,000, which would have essentially been about an hour's worth of overtime per week per
a week.
Under some pressure from a lot of folks, because there were a lot of people behind this, and Susan's right. I heard from the Hospital Association, and they talked about how they are still in dire straits trying to get folks hired and to cover shifts and stuff,
and that
this was going to give them an incentive. Austell as well. Austell's looking to add thousands of jobs over the next few years, and they were going to be recruiting against other states, and they saw this as a real enticement for some of the better employees that they were trying to recruit. And so, it started out as a 2,000 cap, and then there was a lot of pressure, and then it changed over to a $25 million cap that eventually passed out of the Senate, and the bill went to the governor. And then, surprise, last day of session, Governor Kay Ivey had a little bit to say.
The notorious BAG?
Yeah.
Cracked down,
she
baby.
She did. She came down with that gavel so hard. I loved it. She took it all off.
she sent that bill back with an executive amendment, and when it passed the House, the thunderous applause.
Applause. As it should have been.
We call her the notorious BAG out of love with Because when you need somebody to do the dirty work, she'll do it.
She'll do it.
Yeah, no, listen, that was a good move.
It was a good move.
And she was right. Because, you know, there were, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that I heard, particularly from union folks, is, you know, at different times, and people who worked in factories and places know this, you know, you have only so many opportunities in the year when they're paying overtime.
Right.
You know,
right,
the companies will budget for overtime at certain points of the year. And so if you're in a company where the majority of your work product is being produced towards the end of the year, you know, towards the Christmas season, let's say, and that's when the opportunity for overtime becomes available. Well, if you've got a $25 million cap on there, what the hell happens to those guys with the caps already gone?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because folks that worked in the summer, you know, their summertime production hours had increased. And so that it was just going to cause a lot of confusion. And so it was a good move by her.
Governor Ivey.
Working for Alabama like she always does.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the most hateful bills, and I call them hateful because that's all they are, is hateful. Mm-hmm. They did not, for the most part, there were a couple that made it through, a couple of what I would call hate bills.
They're going to get challenged in the courts.
But, Susan, there was a range of these bad bills, starting with divisive concepts that know nothing, do nothing, Ed Oliver sponsored.
Oh, God.
Basically, CRT want
to. Yeah.
And so vague, you don't know what it is.
No, you don't know what it is. And there was also the, you know, death penalty for women who have abortions. There was the no drag in the street, no drag queens in the streets or in front of children. There was all of this stuff that was just silliness. Just silliness. And it died, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Now, the only one that really went through was the transgender youth in sports.
Transgender athletes.
Athletes in sports. And I think that one's going to hit court challenges.
Yeah, I would think so, Josh. They wanted to define what a woman was. That didn't make
that
either,
one too.
You know.
Yeah. That's so forgettable.
Yeah, no, listen, credit to a lot of the leadership in both houses for effectively killing off some of the more controversial and worthless things. I mean, these things were so worthless. There were people who were just passing them just for their own, political gain. This was not something that was ever going to help anybody or stop anything. Most of them wouldn't have been worth the paper they were written on, like the divisive concepts bill. Hell, nobody even knew what that was. There was no definition of it in there anywhere. It would just cause a bunch of confusion and left people in the dark on what should be taught and what couldn't be taught. And so, you know, thankfully cooler heads prevailed on those things and we got them out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, even Tennessee, federal judge in Tennessee has already said that their drag bill, not going to cut them much. And again, it's just one of those things that these are not Alabama problems. These are national talking points for the far right wing of the Republican Party.
That instill fear and hatred.
Yeah. Fear and hatred. Yeah. Let us hold it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
39-year-old male. Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Josh, this Thursday, I think that the Supreme Court of the United States did what many thought they would not do.
Yeah.
And that is that they held that the Alabama redistricting this last time was in violation of the Civil Rights or the Voting Rights Act, mm-hmm. and they said that Alabama has to go back to the drawing board and redraw those districts.
Yeah, it was to say that people were shocked is an understatement. I mean, you know, there had given no indication whatsoever that they were going to rule this way. And I believe Justices Kavanaugh and Roberts, really ironically, given that he essentially voted gutted the Voting Rights Act a few years ago in the Shelby County case, was on the side of the three liberal justices in a 5-4 ruling. And, you know, it's they're going to have to draw in another majority minority district somewhere in this state. They took a look at what, you know, the population of black citizens were in this state. I think it's around 27% and only one majority district in this state met that. And so, you know, it they're going to have to draw in another one. And so we'll see who gets kind of squeezed on this. If my guess is it's going to be Barry Moore, but we'll see.
Well, Susan, you know, we only have one black representative for the U.S. Congress, and that is Terry Sewell.
Right, who does a very good job.
She does a great job. What this is likely, we have to have another district drawn, and this should open it up to another Democrat. And that's a pretty amazing thing coming out of this very conservative Supreme Court. And it would have had ramifications for the whole country.
Well, even still, when this suit was first filed back after the last redistricting, at that time we had a totally different Supreme Court, but nobody really thought it had, you know, snowball's chance in hell of going through. But even with this conservative court, that makes it even a bigger win with the court being what it is now.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that one of the things. You know, I have been dispirited by this Supreme Court, not because of some of the rulings, of course, are dispiriting because they seem to break with long precedent, long held views. I mean, when we're told 20 years ago that something's stare decisis and all of a sudden 20 years later it's not, or when they tell you they're going to vote a certain way and then they don't. And, we have a word down here for people who do that. In the South, we just simply call them liars. So we have problems with that. But I also have problems with the ethics that has come up. I mean, I know I have Republican friends that are angry about Clarence Thomas, people jumping on Clarence Thomas. No Alabama lawmaker can go on luxury trips.
Nope.
Like this.
Nope.
And then I'll take all.
And not go to jail, though.
And somebody buy your mama's house. I mean, come on.
We can't
man.
Give a teacher a $25 gift certificate to somewhere, you know, but Clarence Thomas has got a whole house for his mama.
Yeah. I mean, I got a problem with that. I got a real problem with the court's authority in that area. I mean, I am more in favor of having justices that serve a term limit, maybe 18, 20 years, rotates out through the presidencies so that everybody gets a shot. We don't have Mitch McConnell holding up a vote for a year on the Supreme Court and then putting somebody in a matter of weeks. You know, do away from all that. I love the Constitution, but it was written a while ago.
And it was written to be adjusted with time.
Yeah, well. Good luck with that. But it could be done.
Right. Yeah. 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 If the founding fathers could see us and be like, hey, y'all didn't change that? What are you doing?
What do you call idiots? I mean, of course, they've got a couple of cases before them now that have novel ideas about the Supreme Court. And there's a couple of these justices going, well, I never read it that way.
Yeah.
Because it would help their party.
Right. Of course. Of course. Of course.
God save us. You know, I think God save the Queen. We need all the help we can get over here. I got to say, Susan, the University of Alabama is celebrating 60 years of desegregation on June 11th. Mm-hmm. That was the day. Mm-hmm. That Vivian Malone, now Vivian Malone Jones, and James Hood enrolled and entered into the University of Alabama, following the unsuccessful attempt of Governor George Wallace to keep them out.
Yes, that was a historic day, and thankfully Wallace was not successful. And of course that was just a speech. He really didn't have that much control over it. But it was nice that now it's 60 years later. This is amazing. It's remarkable.
Josh, you've come a long way in 60 years with colleges, but we still got a long way to go, and I hope it doesn't take us another 60 years to get it right.
Yeah, well, it's I think we've regressed a little bit over the last few years, but
yeah.
I'll say, that date and all that surrounded it, and especially being in June, it would make for a pretty good state holiday. Maybe to replace one of the current Confederate holidays that we're still honoring for some reason or another. I mean, there is one in June, I think, that we could replace pretty easily for, while we're still honoring Jefferson Davis. I have no idea. But, we could do that, and it would be something that Alabamians could be proud of, when they take a day off.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's time to move on from these racist holidays that we still celebrate, and that's all they are.
It's all they are.
And show, and I remember at Governor Ivey's first inaugural speech, she talked about moving Alabama away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still struggling, but again, I want to go back to the fact that we have made progress. Yeah. Alabama is not where it was 60 years ago.
No, it's not.
And God forbid we're not further along 60 years on, but I will have to say, in all honesty and good faith, congratulations to Governor Ivey, Speaker Ledbetter, Pro Tem Reed, Minority Leader Singleton, and Minority Leader Daniels. They've done a great job.
Excellent job, guys.
Okay. All right. I guess that's going to be the last word. Josh, unless you want to chime in.
I don't know, man. I think you covered it right there. That's all we need.
All right. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.